Everybody to graduate school information session. This afternoon is about questions and answers, everything you always wanted to ask about doctoral training. First, some practical things. We have received some questions beforehand. We will start with those. Then during this session, you can just raise your hand and ask. Wait until I bring you a microphone. We have Moniviestin and some people following from a distance, so you will need a microphone. Then we use Padlet digital board for questions. So if you have your mobile device with you, you can go to this address and write your question there. I will quickly show you. So it looks like this. So you just click somewhere and then you can write, or click here and you can write your question there. Here's the address again. Or if you just go to the graduate school website and to the site of this event, you can find the link to the Padlet board there. Before we start, we have people from our doctoral schools here to answer your questions, and they will briefly introduce themselves, please.
Oh, I'll start. Jussi Kukkonen from Doctoral School of Mathematics and Science.
Kaisa Miettinen, Vice Rector in Charge of Doctoral Education.
Anna Meepoikkeus, Faculty of Education, but we're going to have the psychology department in our new faculty quite soon, so we will have a new kind of structure with one doctoral school and two doctoral programs.
Laura Stark from the Faculty of Humanities, but in a similar way, we're also welcoming a social sciences department with us next year, so that we will be the Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences starting from January 1st.
And my name is Tuula Oksanen, and I am the graduate school coordinator. Then we have some more people here.
Heli Niskanen from the Faculty of Humanities, I'm an emesis and in charge of, in some way, of doctoral studies.
I'm Satu Perälä-Littunen, I'm the research coordinator at the Faculty of Education.
My name is Tiina Hokkanen and I'm from the Faculty of Social Sciences.
Siukko Pöllänen, amanuensis, Faculty of Social Sciences.
Tiina Silvasti, Faculty of Social Sciences, Vice Head of Department.
Taina Rantanen, Faculty of Sport and Health Sciences.
Maria Korhonen, Faculty of Mathematics and Science.
Mika Haapanen, School of Business and Economics, Coordinator of the Doctoral Studies.
Ari Hyytinen, School of Economics and Business and Vice Dean responsible for research.
Thank you, and I remind you that you can ask your question in Finnish or in English. Both languages are fine. And then let's start with the questions that we received in advance. There is. Do you have the questions?
I do.
I can see them. Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
actually. Yeah.
There's a question about research visits, and can a doctoral student apply for a research visit to another country during their four-year study, and how to apply it? And maybe Kaisa Miettinen can answer that question.
Yes. do you want more information? This is one of the main objectives of our mobility funding that the Science Council grants. Twice every year there's a deadline for applying for funding to make a research visit lasting between 1 and 3 months. So this funding is not directed for conference trips or any short visits. It has to be at least 1 month, maximum 3 months. And the regulation says that the doctoral student must have funding for the time of the visit. So it's okay if one has a contract with the university or has funding from, for example, foundation, but doctoral students who are funding themselves cannot be sent abroad by the university. So funding for the research visit period is required. Otherwise, it requires naturally a recommendation from the supervisor and invitation letter from the host or hostess who commits to collaboration during the visit. And of course, basic requirements, some research plan which is expected to be pretty compact, telling what the objectives of the research visit would be, what are the expected results, and good motivation for having the research visit. And the next funding application deadline will be next spring, early next spring, so, and then the following next autumn. So as said, twice a year this application deadline regularly comes up.
And the call will be announced at the university website, and but of course one has to organize the visit by themselves. So you have to organize the visit and contact the host university, and then you can apply funding from the Science Council.
So it's important to justify how the visit supports completing the doctoral thesis. This is goes without saying that the research has to be important for the completion of the thesis. And this has to be documented in the application. But information at the Science Council website, there will be announcements in the university announcements, and there's a link also from the graduate school website.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions about research visits?
I would like to know if CIMO is one of the sources from where we can get funding for this studying abroad for this exchange.
I think I can speak loud enough. In my understanding, I know that we've been applying for CIMO grants for international students to be here, but my understanding is perhaps that CIMO is not used for students going abroad, although I could be wrong about that. We have to find out about that. I'm more familiar with the idea of international students receiving 1 year of funding, for example, and this is particularly true of new PhD students who come from outside of Finland, that it is possible for their supervisors to apply for them to get 1 year of funding. It's not easy. There's a lot of competition, but that's what I'm more familiar with. So we would have to find out. Yeah. Thank you.
But this, what I was talking about, is funding from the university. We have funding, our own funding for this purpose. But of course, also some other funding can be possible. That's of course a bonus. But what I was explaining was the university's own funding.
Can I also add something there? I would like to just give a short advertisement for Fulbright. If you are interested in going to the United States,
then please apply for a Fulbright grant. There are many different kinds of Fulbright grants. The reason I'm giving this advertisement is I used to be on the Fulbright board for 8 years, and very often people don't quite know how to apply, but there's a large number of Fulbright grants for many, many different levels of study, for PhD students, for postdoctoral students, and and I can help, because I can. If you have questions about how to apply for a Fulbright or what you need to do, just contact me. And this is a very valuable thing. You usually need to apply a couple of years in advance from when you would like to go, but with, you know, with good strategy, it's very possible to make yourself a good candidate for that. So, and there's many different terms of going on a research or a teaching visit. It's not just always 1 year. It can be shorter, 6 months, even possibly 3 months in some cases. So just something to keep in mind.
May I add some?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that works. So back to these grants, these schools or programs can give at our faculty some doctoral programs grant both the visits for the conferences as well as 1 month to 3 months research visits. So if you are interested in this kind of grants, please contact your own school or program where you belong to and find out what are the possibilities.
Okay, then there were a couple of questions about the funding model in the Faculty of Humanities, so Laura will answer these ones.
Yes, so this year we've had a particular challenge. We have, as those of you in our faculty have noticed, we've moved from a what we call a 2+2 model, meaning that there would be the first 2 years would be grants, and the next 2 years would be working contracts. And now this year, we've moved to be in line with the university policy, 1+3. So the first year is grant, and the next 3 years would then be working contract. This model is, of course, more expensive. So that has, as I think, a lot of the concern that's behind these questions, which I do understand, is that not everyone who had received 12 months of funding last year in our faculty, not everyone will be able to receive 12 months this year, either as grant or as working contract. And that's because, although we actually had a little bit more money this year for doctoral studies, the working contract salaries and the extra costs included tend to eat up so much of the funding. So this was the transition year. This was the year that's challenging. And the question was, how is the person chosen? Well, first of all, those who received 12 months of funding last year, according to the university policy, they are considered now for next year's funding. Not all of them, as many know, can be funded. And so how do we choose those who will be funded? And the main criteria has been the progress of the PhD studies. And we've asked those who are eligible for funding, we've asked them to write freely about their own progress and tell very concretely about what they've done this year. And we've also asked their supervisors to talk in very concrete terms about what kind of progress the PhD student has displayed and what the supervisor has actually seen from the student. So based on those two documents, we are making currently the decision. Then the question was, how can the faculty help students in the future? And absolutely we want to help. And the way that we're going to help is to help the PhD students get more outside funding. The university is just one source for funding. There are many others. I'm fully aware, I do realize that the competition is very fierce. For the larger foundations, it's about 10% success rate now. And with that in mind, my vision is that the Faculty of Humanities, and perhaps someday, you know, the whole university, my vision is that we will become known for our excellent research applications, for our very well put together research plans that we will be very competitive. And so for the past 2.5 years, I've been giving personal mentoring and coaching to PhD students from my faculty. I will continue that. So if you're in the Faculty of Humanities and also now Social Sciences, those PhD students from Social Sciences are now welcome. Please come and see me for one-on-one mentoring where we really sit down together and think about what is the most time-effective way for you to write a convincing research proposal which is going to convince the evaluators in the external foundations. So I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has about research funding. I believe that applicants for research funding are not born, they are made, they are coached, they are trained. So, and I'm very excited about doing that for the folks in my faculty, and perhaps at some point we can extend this to the whole university.
Thank you, Laura. There may be more questions about funding coming, but let's go through these questions sent in advance first. So this question is about a study that will be included in doctoral degree. If one has completed those studies for his or her licentiate's degree, can they still be used for doctor's degree, or are they outdated? Who would like to answer this question? I think this came from the Faculty of Social Sciences, so.
Well, in that case, you don't have to do any other studies in addition to your dissertation, at least in our faculty, at least for the time being.
I would like to point out that it all depends on the topic of the doctoral dissertation, though. So if the topic is somehow necessitating some additional studies to be completed, then one has to look at this case by case. So from the formalities point of view and from the practical point of view, the answer might look a little bit different. But now in this kind of a general way, that's the answer. But whether it's possible to complete the doctoral dissertation with the background information and knowledge gained while preparing the licentiate thesis depends very much on the topic and the objectives of the research.
Yes, we have since 2005, we have, for example, defined the learning outcomes of doctoral training, and there's lots of new things, and we have much more courses available, these transferable skills courses, for example, but yeah. Then there was a question from somebody who is thinking about applying for a doctoral student study right, and this is a question about which faculty, which doctoral program would be appropriate for this type of preliminary title. Is it social sciences?
Well, it might be, and I think that I have already replied to this person, and I think he has written to many people, but it all depends on his previous studies, I would say, because he didn't say much, and we don't know what his studies are. So we need more information.
Okay, but in more general, how do you know which faculty you should apply to? And whom to contact.
I would agree very much that it's very much, you know, taking into account the master studies and the expertise gained from those, that will be then the springboard for the PhD studies. So that, for example, if I just think from my own point of view, if this person had studied anthropology or ethnology, they could apply to my program, which is ethnology, if they had studied, for example, the political science, then that would be where they would want to apply. You don't want to shift in the middle to something, yeah, too far, to something new, because, well, first of all, I expect that most of the doctoral programs will not accept people who don't have some studies at the master's level, and there's a very good reason for that. There's certain things that the master's students learn that they need to know for their PhD studies, and it's very difficult for someone to come in and try to write a dissertation when they don't have the background studies.
Mm-hmm. And keeping in mind that doctoral studies are supposed to be completed in 4 years if it's done in full time, so there really is not time or place to do the background studies to get to the level where one can start the doctoral research. So this is practical.
Yeah,
it's the constraint.
It's the criterion for us that you would have to have the advanced level studies in education if you are doing a doctorate in education. So it would take you a lot of time to get to that point before you can even apply.
But so depending on what the master's degree was on, mm-hmm. contacting professors of that discipline first, discussing with them what kind of possibilities there would be to build a research plan, having some particular focus, but building on the knowledge of that has been gained in the master's degree. That would be the general advice how to proceed in these kind of cases. Because overall, it's okay if doctoral candidates have their own topics in mind, but it has to be reflected on who is willing and able to supervise them as well. So it involves different phases to get to the point when one then is ready to start.
Yes.
Then we have a couple of questions on this Padlet wall. Oh, I'm sorry, it's very difficult for you now.
The font over there is too small now.
Yeah.
Can you read them out
yes.
loud for us?
About study plan, what structure should have a study plan of doctoral student in IT faculty in case only 30 study credits is required? What structure? Maybe Sami, can you answer this one?
Yeah. Trying to think what would be the simple answer to this, but I guess there is no simple answer. So the starting point is that if you have 2 master's degree, and the same rule includes if you have previous doctoral degree, we can decrease the requirement to 30 credits. But in any case, you should plan the coursework with the supervisors, and the idea is that you can drop out the requirement of those courses you have already completed in the previous degrees. That's or something like that. It's not so simple, but that's the idea. Discuss with the supervisors, and. Okay, that's it. Discuss the supervisors. That's my simple answer.
Thank you. So, it seems the new questions come on the top, so let's take the bottom one. Some universities in other countries provide open courses and open schools of several weeks study that are closely related to my research topic. Can our university or department give me support for this study and traveling fees? These open courses have up to 10 study credit points. Can these credits be admitted in our university? And this question comes from the IT faculty as well, but do we have a general answer? Support for this study and traveling fees. I guess some departments have and some don't, but
I could add in general that in principle it is possible, but it always depends on the financial situation of the department in question, so there are no guarantees. It has to be always negotiated and agreed on, and they first of all discussed with the supervisor to make sure that the contents of the course are really relevant and can be regarded as part of the doctoral studies. In principle, we can accept studies completed elsewhere if we are sure that the contents are appropriate for the needs. So the general rule is to make agreements well ahead before the event, and if you get a permission, then you can proceed, but all these arrangements have to be agreed on before making any commitments anywhere.
But Tommy, can you answer, do you have at the IT faculty any calls for this sort of funding?
No, I would say the basic principle, if you need money for any reason, contact the head of the department after you have discussed with the supervisor for the need for such course. And one point to this is first, make sure that the course is really open for participating. There must be different systems in different universities. And that's my brief answer. What else?
And one thing also is to make sure that one gets a certificate to have some proof of really taking and passing the course. And this always is all good to check all as set before making any commitments as well. Because then we need to also at our end here judge how many credits would it be worth, so we need some information about the amount of effort required to pass the course.
So discuss it beforehand at your department. Then we have a question about midterm evaluation. When would there be midterm evaluation in the doctoral studies, and what would it exactly be? We don't really have midterm evaluations in...
That's not our terminology at
all. Here at the University of Jyväskylä, we have follow-up groups and follow-up group meetings once a year. So we don't have midterm evaluation. We have little evaluation every year with your follow-up group. Do you have any other questions about the follow-up of your doctoral studies or the follow-up groups? Is it all clear to you how it works or should work? Okay. Do you have any other questions about doctoral studies that have been completed somewhere else related to the previous question? Okay. Or any other questions in any other topic? See, I encourage you to use your chance because we won't be sitting here much longer if there aren't more questions. So use the opportunity.
Yes.
Hi. So there was talk about this change the plans, going to the 1+3 PhD plan. So so in a case that someone doesn't get funding for the second year, can't the students have like a break between continuing studies? And if they can, how long the break can be before getting additional funding?
We don't have any kind of official system of breaks, but of course if the PhD student does not receive funding, then they have to, I mean, then there's, they are not expected to work. So that's, then it has to be flexible. I mean, it's just an unfortunate, perhaps, Kaiser can correct me if I'm wrong, but yes, I mean, that's, it's just, there isn't, I think in the whole university we have a similar problem, that there isn't enough funding to fund everyone. So although we will try our best to help as much as we can, unfortunately, I think that there will be some people now who will, in a way, follow through the cracks at least temporarily. And we just have to do our best to make sure that at least they know the best ways in which to get the outside foundation funding, if possible. And yes, so it's an unfortunate situation for, and this is, but this is university-wide. Yeah. No, I don't believe that anyone will be kicked out of the university. At the moment, the university has the policy that the university cannot fund anyone, and now, well, it was previously could not fund anyone for more than 4 years, and now it cannot fund anyone who has been funded for more than 4 years, even by outside. So please, my message to everyone, and I'm sure the vice-rector's message to everyone is that please try to finish within 4 years, simply because of the funding situation is so tight now, and that it may be that the foundations will start going in that same direction, that they will, you know, that if they see someone's already been funded for 3 years, they will only give 1 year, or if they see someone's already been funded for 4 years, they won't give another year. So I think the message also that I've been trying to give to supervisors is not to encourage people to write such long dissertations anymore. And of course, with article dissertations, that can be a little bit more challenging. But just in terms of thinking about, you know, still trying to keep our quality high, but perhaps the size of the topic doesn't have to be as large. We don't have to answer all the world's questions, you know, in one dissertation. So, yes, it's a huge challenge for many, you know, I mean, the problem is we have in the whole university very many PhD students who are working very hard, and their research is very important and very promising, and we're struggling, you know, being able to fund them. So this is a challenge that we need to face and try to find new solutions to. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, I come from the different faculty, so I'm not commenting the Faculty of Humanities, but my practical tip from my experience, because there are in different funding sources, there is competition of the funding. If you don't get temporarily further funding, make serious decision if you want to do a PhD and try your best as long as you want to do it. If you have to take another job to make the living, try to show some serious activity still during that temporary time. Because the practical point of view is that if any board in any foundation, let's say, they have a lot of applications there, if they have two similar as good applications and one has studied for a year in paper and the other has studied for 4 years, actively 1 year and then 3 years of break. That who's going to be more fluent in the process will get the funding. So show some activity between if you don't get the further funding.
Any more questions about funding?
While you are thinking of your questions, I could say that in terms, our university allocates 6 million euros to faculties to fund doctoral students. And in these hard times, as you know, that the amount of funding is getting all sorts of cuts. This is practically the only amount of money that I know of at the moment at the university, which has not been cut for the next year. So it's still, I'm perfectly aware of the fact that it is not enough for everybody. But anyway, I hope that you can see that it is a clear indication that our university appreciates the work that doctoral students do and want to do the best we can in the current situation to support making good doctoral dissertations. But own activity, even if you are if you have a position from the faculty or department, it is still positive indication if you look for funding from, for example, foundations, because if you think of your CV for your future career, it is a very positive indication that somebody has found your work worthy of funding. So this is, in the long run, also something to think of. So showing own initiative and activity is very, very important.
There's one more question about funding on the board there. Does the four-year limit apply also to part-time students? I'm working as a lecturer at a University of Applied Sciences doing doctoral studies at the same time.
No. We always, whenever we remember to say the full sentence, we say that one should complete in 4 years when working full-time. Of course, if one works part-time, it is not possible. We can't expect it to be possible to complete the thesis in 4 years in that situation. We have this kind of a remark somewhere in the papers that if the work is done part-time, it should be completed in the equivalent of 4 years full-time. But this is impossible in practice to really count or calculate. Because some year you might be able to work 10% and another year 60%, so, or it might be even impossible to give any exact percentages when working part-time. So the idea is anyway that it is indeed important to do one's best to complete, because there are practical reasons, like whether the supervisor will be around for a very long time if it tends to become a very long process. If your supervisor, for example, retires or changes affiliation, there's always challenge phase there to think of how to continue. So the longer the process is, the more probable is that some kind of changes in the supervisors are also taking place. Another thing is, of course, is also whether the research question remains relevant for a long time. So there are all sorts of things to consider. And even if it's done part-time, it's still important that it is actively done. Or then if there is no progress made, then we have the option of making the right to do doctoral studies make it passive, so that if you have this kind of a passive status, you can't expect to get any supervisor advice, you can't finish courses, so then you need to activate yourself again. But in that way, being passive for a while, in principle, you can affect the amount of time spent officially for completing the thesis. So, for example, if you really will not be working for the thesis or doing anything related to that, let's say for the next academic year, it's best not to register and even pretend to be active. It's better to be honest and then admit that I will not be active for the next year, and then continue when the situation changes.
There's another question related to having breaks during your doctoral studies. Is it possible to have a maternity leave during your doctoral studies, and what are the policies? Well, it's of
yes.
course it is possible.
We can't in any way affect people's choices. So, sorry, I'm laughing, but it's just a human right. We are not in, it's not in our interests to interfere with this in any way. And this is also one of the exceptions that is okay to extend this magical 4-year time constraint. Having a maternity leave is an acceptable reason for taking more than 4 years to complete the thesis.
Also the answers.
Yes, but it was not. But if you want to think of the other good acceptable reasons, military service is another acceptable reason for completing it in a longer time than 4 years.
And related to policies, it depends a bit if you are from the point of view of the university, if you are employed by the university, or if you are working on a research grant from a foundation, for example. The university has ways to handle, but I don't know if there's anybody here who is like prepared to answer how exactly, but the university has a policy, and there are people at your department who handle the staff affairs who can answer this question. If you have a grant from a foundation, for example, you can contact the foundation and negotiate how you will use your grant during your maternity leave or after that. Then there's a question, what if I receive an international job for a few months in the middle of my funding period? Is it possible to have a break? And then there's another question, what is my follow-up group? But let's take the first one first. So it's not clear if you have a funding from the university, but if we assume you have funding from the university, is it possible to have a break and go and take the international job for a few months? I would like to answer this.
It's a little bit challenging to give a good answer because there are so many further questions that should be answered to give a good answer. But let us assume that the person has a contract with the university, and let us assume that this job is relevant for the topic of the doctoral thesis, so that the work done there supports the doctoral thesis preparation, then it is possible to make this kind of an application for a leave of absence from the university for the time of the contract elsewhere, and then return back. But if it's something completely different and you have a contract, then you need to really make serious discussions with your department head and supervisor about
the meaningfulness of that kind of a move in the middle of your research work, because we humans tend to forget things, and how easy it is to get back to whatever you were doing before you took the break and still be able to fluently finish. One can wonder whether it is a good move, or whether it would be better to finish first and then get the job. But there were quite many ifs. Taina wishes to.
I can fully support your idea. This is not the policy of our school. Mm-hmm. We haven't really discussed about this, but similar way that if that job or being abroad really helps, facilitates your PhD thesis work, it's totally okay. We actually support this kind of a few months abroad kind of visits. But then if it's the kind of, serious job, no matter, but totally different topic, or if it's just backpacking somewhere in Far East, having fun, I would seriously think about, being a supervisor now, having that hat. I would really think about the motivation of the student, how he or she would like to focus on the research and completing the thesis. So that would be a matter of very serious discussion between student and supervisor.
My answer is also that in principle, yes, but in practice, maybe no. Mm-hmm. And why I'm saying this is that a lot of the students who are employees of the university, they actually work on research grants that are awarded to the supervisor. And these grants have budgets that are entitled to specific years. So if you don't spend the money that year when you're supposed to spend it, it's lost. So as a supervisor, I wouldn't favor it. I want the people to do the work that was planned and then do something else after it's completed.
Okay, then we come back to the follow-up groups. What is my follow-up group? I think it would be a good time to have a brief introduction to what is a follow-up group, why do we have them, and why they are so important. So, Kaisa, would you like to do it?
I'm just thinking how far back should I go to make this answer concise, but still not too lengthy. But anyway, we have rules that the board of the university has given for doctoral education and training. And the graduate school is working based on these guidelines provided by this document. And one of the elements in that document is the requirement that every doctoral student must have a follow-up group. And even the tasks of the follow-up group are listed in this document. The idea is that the doctoral student should have somebody else besides the supervisors or the research group where one is working to discuss different elements related to the doctoral studies. For one thing, to see that the appropriate progress is made. Then also to see that, for example, the department does not give too many extra duties to the student that it is impossible to complete the work as planned. That kind of a human right perspective. If the if the supervisor is somehow biased in making sure that this is followed. On the other hand, the follow-up group can also, or is expected to discuss the future, what the doctoral candidate actually plans to do after graduation. Give further perspectives to this besides what discussions are had with the supervisor about this aspect. And finally, if there are some misunderstandings or some serious differences of understanding between the doctoral student and the supervisor, the follow-up group is the first place to turn to in order to find some way to tackle the problems. So there are many different reasons why the follow-up groups are there, and in different faculties we still have somewhat different guidelines of how the follow-up group is formed, but this boils down also on the fact that every doctoral student who is active should have, how have we translated this?
Supervision document.
Yes. Yeah. So the supervision document should be made when the doctoral research is started. It has different interesting appendices. An important document describing the rules and regulations at the university, what the doctoral thesis is supposed to be like. The faculties can have individual, more detailed appendices or further information, but we have rules at the university level of what the doctoral dissertation should be like. But then in the other appendix, there's information about the rules and responsibilities and rights of doctoral candidates, doctoral students, supervisors, and follow-up groups. That's another document where you can find information about what the follow-up group is supposed to be for. And in this supervisor document, you have some basic information. One basic information is the tentative title of the thesis. Another important information is who are the supervisors. And one more important information, who are the members of your follow-up group. So if you do not know your follow-up group, it means that your supervisor document is not okay. And in this way, it is an indication that you should discuss with your supervisor and make sure that you do it without any delay. And your supervisor is the person to tell you about the guidelines of your unit about how the follow-up group is formed. But it's a right for a doctoral student to have a follow-up group. You should think of it that way. It is the main objective is to be on the side of the doctoral student and follow the progress and see if some obstacles are appearing on the way of finishing on time, and then thinking together with the supervisors how to fix possible problems.
Most optimally, the follow-up group is nominated, right, when the students accept it.
Yes.
But of course, there are some students who started earlier, and especially for those ones, I think it would be especially important to have this follow-up group to sort of help the progress. And if somebody is missing that group, then it would be the head of the doctoral school would have to sort of take that initiative to sort of fix it.
But the first person to contact is the supervisor. Yeah. He or she will then know whom to turn to if further information is needed. But this is something that this document, this supervisor document, it is in the COGPI system nowadays, and we are creating a new way to make it more flexible and making it more user-friendly for the purposes that this document has. So we are in the process of preparing some new way of taking care of these things. But the idea is that the supervisor document is checked once a year to see that it is still up to date, and the follow-up group meets typically once a year if the doctoral student makes the studies in full time to see how the work makes progress, whether the doctoral studies have been also making good progress, and think of possible further topics to pay attention to.
Thank you. Any more questions related to follow-up group, supervision document, duties of doctoral student, supervisor, follow-up group? No? This is the first time I'm using the Padlet, so I just check it. No, not in the bottom. Yes. So we don't have any more questions at the moment. Members of the Graduate School Steering Board, do you have anything you have in mind that you would like to use this opportunity to tell something? It seems it's mostly doctoral students in our audience.
Would be nice to get feedback also, if there are any sort of good practices or some problems. But we also ask that in some questionnaires sometimes, but if there are any sort of yet feel that, well, this is something I would like to change, or I worry about this, would be nice to hear.
Or feedback about, this is the first event of this kind. Is this something that you find useful or not?
What kind of format would be better?
Okay, I didn't ask it as a question because I think we have been discussing it a little bit. It concerns PhD courses. I have found that many courses that we should be taking, because we nevertheless have to collect the credits, we are entitled to them only if we are in the employment relationship with the university, which not all PhD students are in. And otherwise they cost, well, last year it was 52 euros per credit, which is, of course, like, which makes it quite expensive for us individually to cover. And also they fill up within seconds, because there's usually about three times as many students wanting to take them as there are places at the on the course. So I don't know if it can be anyhow changed in the future, because of course it's causing us to be probably prospectively unqualified PhD students if we are unable to take them. I don't know if there has been any progress on that, or if there's going to be any.
Yes, this is something that has been on our agenda for quite some time, because we have realized the challenge, and the rector has made this kind of a guideline already maybe two years ago, and it was reformulated last June, that all doctoral students who have courses in their study plan, which has been a study plan which has been accepted as their study plan, which are if when the study plan is made for each doctoral student individually to see what kind of skills and what kind of courses really would support completing the thesis, and if there are courses listed there and accepted as such that belong to this kind of a staff training class, the corresponding department is supposed to cover the expenses. So it should not become an obstacle for example, doctoral students who have a funding from a foundation. So they have the right to take the course, and the department has the responsibility to pay the price. But it's not ad hoc. So the courses have to be really carefully thought of, and there has to be this understanding that the particular course is relevant for that particular doctoral student. As far as this course is getting full so soon, as far as this question is concerned, this is related to the many something that I was planning to say at the end, but let me now say that as many of you might have noticed, this year we have gone through the evaluation of the doctoral education at our university, and we have prepared a report of quite many pages, which contains general information about each individual faculty and doctoral education there, and a plan of developing doctoral education. It has short-term active actions, longer-term actions, and even longer-lasting actions. How do we improve the quality of our supervision and our doctoral dissertations, of our processes? And this is one of the things that we have recognized as a bottleneck, that there are not enough courses available. So it is in the action list, and not in the very long term, but a short term action list. And we will keep it in mind so that we can do whatever we can to improve the situation. It is not at all okay that this becomes a bottleneck for doctoral students to make good research and have the skills that are required for their research. So it's a kind of a promise in a way that we will do the best we can, and let's see how much we can influence this, but it has been recognized. And it's good that you raised this here so that I could tell this also to the others, that we fully agree that something has to be done in this.
Okay. Thank you.
And during the evaluation of doctoral training, we heard doctoral students, supervisors, heads of doctoral schools and programs, and there were communication between the different levels of the graduate school, and that communication is something that we should have really have continuously, so that we should be discussing with each other. And this event is one way of doing it. There's now some feedback on the wall, so please use the Padlet wall to give your feedback to this session. The wall will be open even if we close this session. Let's say I will keep the wall open until Friday. Okay? So please give your feedback, and then we will consider if we will make this repeat this session next year, or we will think about it.
And of course, as Anna-Maja said, all feedback related to how we could improve is welcome. Our main objective is quality, that the doctors that graduate from the University of Jyväskylä can really be proud of the degree, they have the confidence that they have required the necessary skills to continue in whatever type of jobs they wish to continue with, not claiming that we would be giving all the skills that are up to date in the future, but we would give the skills to keep one's knowledge up to date. It always needs further actions. We never are fully qualified on anything, but we should know how to react when new challenges come up, and where to look for advice or suggestions.
Yes, anything else? Last chance to present your question. Yes.
I would like to know when we can have the response from the dean for this funding for the next 3 years. And I wanted to know also, is it possible, because I heard some students from other departments, I belong to the Department of Languages, so I heard about other people in other departments that maybe they were not funded for 3 years in a row, but like 1 year, or is it possible that we have this kind of option also? Because I understand it's just to adjust also, the, yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
I can answer that. I know that there's been a lot of confusion because we're shifting from one model to the other. In the future, it will not be possible, and also this year, not possible that the faculty will be giving money to people who, you know, got maybe 2 years ago some funding, but then they didn't get last year. And this is because we are now on doing the university policy where we are trying to give the 4 years of funding. However, departments are more free to use any extra money they have at the end of the budget year as they wish, and that depends on the department whether they have money or not. Can you remind me your first question? I'm sorry, you had a, that was your second question. Yes, that's my understanding is that should be coming this week. I know that the dean has been working on it over the weekend, and there's been, you know, the various. I evaluated the first year grants. And then I know that all of these discussions have been going on. So I know that the progress is being made, and I hope for the decision this week.
Thank you. So I wish to thank you all for your questions and for your answers. And would guys like to say some closing words?
Thank you. I also wish to warmly thank you for coming, showing interest in the work that is being done in this important field, and I wish you all the best, a lot of good ideas and fruitful surroundings to complete the thesis. And wisdom to the supervisors to guide the way very well. And thank you for all the people who are part of these processes in order to guarantee that the working environment and the practicalities are smooth enough to complete the degrees. We have been very lucky at the university that we tend to exceed the number of doctoral degrees that the Minister of Education and Culture sets us for quite many years in a row. And all people working are to be thanked for that. We don't get any extra money, but it's also very good that we don't go below the level, because then we would be losing money. So thank you for your good work. Plenty of effort for the future. Thank you for your comments that you are about to send now. It is good to get some feedback so that we always stay up to date about what are the things that we should devote focus to, what are the problems we might need to tackle. And now that is almost December, I also wish you Merry Christmas and all the best for the next year and its challenges.